We are in John's Gospel, chapter 14. And we'll begin reading right in the middle of there, verse 7. And Jesus says this to Philip, "From now on you know him and you have seen him." Or that's actually to Thomas. And then Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak out of my own initiative. But the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves." Up earlier in the chapter, Jesus has told them that he's going away to the Father, and that he's going to prepare a place for them in God's expansive heaven. And he says, "And you know the way where I'm going." That's in verse 5 of chapter 14. John replies to that, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And we come to that great statement, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Well, that, of course, that statement tells us where Jesus is going. He's going to the Father, and they're going to go to the Father. Everybody has this great and glorious goal in that Jesus himself is the way to the Father. You remember all this last week and that wonderful negative statement, which is so, every once in a while it's good to be negative. I hate to say that. No one likes negativity. But Jesus was strong here. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he qualifies that and expands on it with a negative statement. There's no other way to the Father but by me. He enlarges on the statement of "I'm the way, the truth, and the life" with a strong negative to make sure we get the point. There's only one way to the Father, and that's by Jesus. And so, and then he ends all that bit of conversation with Thomas, and he says, "From now on, you have seen the Father," or "you know the Father, and you have seen him." "From now on, you have known the Father and have seen him." And this "had seen" business is kind of a final. This is something that has been accomplished. The 11 disciples had actually seen the Father. It's a pretty point-blank statement. And at that, Thomas falls silent, and Philip goes, "Well, that sounds good. Lord, show us the Father." They're kind of a ragtag full of questions bunch. Did y'all ever hear there was never a dumb question? There's no such thing as dumb questions. Have y'all ever heard that? That's not true. There's some real dumb questions. But you can learn a lot by listening to other people's questions. It's always good just to be real quiet and listen to. Don't ask questions, just listen to the answers. So that's where they are. The disciples in the last 3 years of Jesus' life this little sojourn they had through Galilee, Judea, Samaria, had come to fruition, and they, if you add all those years up, all the experiences up, they had seen God. And Philip wishes for something, you know, he says, well, that's a great idea. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. That's all we need. And here Philip is requesting a Moses-like theophany. He wants to have a vision. Moses said it in Exodus chapter 33. He says, I pray thee, Lord, show me thy glory. And we know the outcome of all of that. And Moses did see a bit of God's glory. Or maybe Philip has in mind that wonderful prophecy, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. Maybe Philip had that in his heart. Who knows? But nevertheless, he wants to see. He wants to see God. Now, just as we're not going to progress along that line very, we're going to stop a minute and just think of this. You know, God's people bring varied qualities to the congregation. You are all of, you know, each one of you brings something to this group. And if let's just say we each bring a question, even our questions can become glory if we're just careful to listen what the answers to those questions might be. He'll answer the Brett's question over there, or Leah's question over here, Tom's question back there. They have these questioning hearts. And maybe God won't just speak the answer to their questions out publicly somehow or another, but they come and they've come to God in their prayer life, and they, as they come to God with their questions about their soul and about their lives, and as God answers those questions, their spirit is enlarged. And we all take that in. Maybe even unknowingly, we, the glow of the answers, the wonders of the answers to each one of our hearts' questions, is we all experience it. I think it's the church is a congregation of a multitude of people, and there were all kinds of people. And as God moves among us, His glory is revealed. And I tell you, it is a fitting thing for when we come to church here, we listen for God's word. Not just from the pastor as he stands and teaches, or I stand or teach, or something like that. That's a given. But we should be listening for a word from God. We should be sensitive that God is among us. Remember that great teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25? The church gets together. It's all there in 12, 13, and 14. And Paul describes the life among the church. There's gifts of the Spirit. And God manifests Himself among the people. And someone coming in says about that congregation, that church, God is surely among them. This is the great goal of God calling a people out. I'm not entirely content with the church being a mere lecture hall. How about you? And here's this little group of disciples, and each they all had their own questions. And, you know, Peter is silent, dead silent over there. He's been told that he's going to betray Jesus. Thomas says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. What do you mean telling us that you know we know the way? We don't even know where you're going, much less the way. And Jesus answers Thomas, and he falls silent, pondering. And Philip's, well, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Let's see God. And all that accumulated humanity with all of its questions and failings, in the midst of that humanity, God reveals himself. And that's the glory of the church. That he can do that. But let's just look at Philip here for a minute. Before we get to Jesus' answers even. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. That'll satisfy me. What would you tell Jesus that you'd be satisfied with? I nearly carry the analogy more to a silly one, but I'm just going to be really silly. If Jesus was a big Santa Claus, what would you sit in his lap and tell him? Now, that's almost profane and terrible. So just drop that. But Philip says, Lord, you show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. Of all the concerns maybe Philip had over the years, maybe he'd fixed upon some of them, and Jesus, as he followed Jesus, who knows? How about you? Of all the problems in life right now you are experiencing with, if you could have an answer to any problem, that's just your own heart. You know, what do they always say? And I want you to know, I've not seen Miss America pageant since I was a little boy. So, but they tell me, and they'd say, what do you want in life? And they always say, world peace. I mean, you know, they always say that, world peace. I want world peace. No, put all that stuff away. Philip said, Lord, if you just show us the Father, like Moses got to see, that will satisfy. It's enough. What will satiate your hunger? I mean, fix you forever. Now, I know about you this week. How many of y'all have eaten several full meals? And I've said it, I think I heard Brett say it, he didn't want to eat for 2 days. How'd that last? I've seen him eating since he said that. But you see, we're not really satiated. But what would truly your spiritual soul, what would, if you could just come to Jesus and say, Lord, Philip said, I want to see God. That's pretty good. You may think Philip is a dense post, but that's a pretty good question. It's a good thing to seek from God, and he does. He puts away other people's questions that he might, and he finds his own question. And I'm telling you, we should put away all the things that we hear and get with our own soul and say, God, this will be enough for me, and this is all I want. And no one can come to that question to ask from God except you. All by yourself. You don't do it as a family unit. Every time I look over here at Levis, sometimes it blesses me. I was never, take this the right way, the head of my family. And I never wanted to be. And I never insisted on it. If I'd have said, all right, Leabeth, we're as a family, we're going to get together and come up with a question to ask for God, and this is what we're going to get as a family. She'd say, look, I'm going to do my own. If this is something, I'm going to come up with my own question that satisfies my soul. You see what I'm saying here? This isn't something we do as a group. Let's have a business meeting. I don't love business meetings, Steve. I love business meetings. Do I hear something? What question should we be asking from God here in this place? And someone say, well, I want this. Another one this. And we all vote on it. Is that how it works? Philip did not do that. He just thought of this thought. He said, seen God, we've seen God. That's a good idea. Lord, show me God the Father, and that'll be enough. I'm telling you guys, if you get passionate about getting something from God, it'll change you forever. The mere seeking of the answer will change you forever. By the way, Philip's question implies the belief that Jesus can grant it. Pretty good. You think Philip is a dumb old post and kind of silly here with his thing, Lord, show us the Father? He did know a couple things. He did know that to see God would be good. And he did know that Jesus could grant the request. Whew. Okay, but back to Philip's question. Now, before we do that, I'll just say this. Let us seek something from our King that we want deep in our soul. Push all the questions of the earth aside, all the things that men seek, and you seek Him for your own satisfaction. And in the answer to that, he who seeks, finds, will be a glory. Okay, back to Philip's question. The basic answer to Philip's question is, you've already had the showing. I've already answered that. Verse 9. Philip. Or maybe it's verse 10. Let's see here. No, it's verse 9. Have I been so long with you that you do not know me? How long have you been with me? And you ask me, how can you ask me that? Show us the Father. And this glorious statement, this is another one of those little mountain peaks in the Swiss Alps. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't Christians believe amazing things? It's a wonder they don't just run us off, Steve. Are you serious? Do you actually think to see Jesus was to see God the Father, the God of the universe? Do you really believe that that man in Nazareth was God Almighty, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, that the man who's seen Jesus of Nazareth had seen the Father? Do you really believe that, Steve? And I think Steve would say, yes, I do believe it. What an alarming thing to maintain and to put forward. And that's what we preach. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Philip, how do you say, show us the Father? Have I been with you so long? I tell you, it has been one continual showing over the 3 years. It's kind of never stopped. This showing, I've always liked the expression that each individual showings, each individual action and saying and deed of Christ, if you gather them all up, what's that expression? The sum is greater than the part. The sum is greater than the individual parts. just gather them all up. And they have had a continual showing as real as Moses saw. How long have I been with you? That's the pivotal phrase in this. The effect of walking with Jesus. Is the showing. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. We Christians walk with God. You think that's true? That's our great goal in our life, is to walk with Him. And as we walk with Him, we see Him. Now in verse 9, Jesus expresses a bit of dismay at Philip. How can you say it, Philip? Sometimes I think He has dismay with us. Verse 10, do you not believe I am in the Father and the Father is in me? It's a question. And the question is a call to belief. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is with me? In verse 11, He commands them to believe. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. This is the great tenet of the Christian faith, that Jesus was one with the Father and the Father was one with Jesus. This is our great glory. That there's this unity between God the Father and God the Son, and we are called to believe it. We're kind of circling the same thing here, that Jesus, to see Jesus is the Father, and Jesus fully brings this out even more. Philip, do you understand? Do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Verse 10, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. This is kind of a Hebrew parallelism. They kind of build on each other. They're not exactly the same, and they qualify each other. But the idea is this, that Jesus speaks, and everything He speaks, it doesn't come out of His own authority, but He hears from the Father, and God the Father is working through Him, and there's this unity in His person. I want you to know, Christians are called to believe amazing things. I mean, just to believe some guy could be a prophet, that isn't much. That's not a high claim. You say, well, Muhammad was a prophet. Anybody can maintain that. Joseph Smith, he was a prophet. Big deal. There's prophets all over the place. Christians go way farther than that. We say Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, was God in the flesh. One with the Father one with Him. My goodness. And you know, Philip's, don't get me wrong, I love Philip here. You know, Philip expresses a yearning that all mankind has had at one time or another, or maybe even all religions have desired. They want to see God. They'd like to see God. But that longing has its fulfillment in no prophet. No person other than Jesus. I mean even God's authentic prophets. I just mentioned two false prophets, but I mean even a real prophet. The fulfillment of wanting to see God cannot come about through a mere human. It comes about through Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten of the Father. Okay, let's just read it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 18, way back in the gospel. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained it. Whew. We beheld His glory, glory as that of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, we've come to a mountain peak, and up on that mountain, men see very clearly. There's no confusion with statements like this. The possibility of seeing God is inherent in this concept of walking with Jesus. You guys, there's no hope of seeing Jesus on television, a movie, a television show. That's probably not going to happen. But walking with Jesus in the Spirit and among God's people and you serving Him in your heart and staying as close to Him as possible, that very manner of life, there's a possibility you're going to see glory periodically. Glory. I can remember a guy saying once, I won't quote him, I won't tell you who said it, but I kind of like the man. He says, you can watch Gunsmoke all you want. You're not going to see God there. That just dates him, doesn't it? But you know, he's right. And so we have this fellowship. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. And so, Jesus says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. This is a command. And He speaks it to all of them. He speaks it not just to Philip here, but He speaks it to the rest of the ten there. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. He makes a final... We are expected to take His word here as final. You look at it. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Jesus said that to those 11 men. You believe this. This is a tenet of the faith. You know, some people come to faith in God through some word Jesus might speak in their life. Maybe they're reading the Scripture and some light falls on the Scripture and we understand it. It speaks to us. Sometimes God just reveals something to us in our spirit and faith rises. Sometimes there's light on our path. Have any of you ever had light on your path and what you should and shouldn't do? What comes out of an experience like that? Faith. This walking with Jesus. Sometimes there's something that God does in our life that brings faith. These little actions that God takes. Some turning water into wine. Has God ever turned some water into wine for you? Some simple thing like a glass of water becomes intoxicating. So, some sickness that he raises us out of, maybe a physical sickness, or maybe even some sickness of our soul. Oh, God, those are the worst sicknesses. Some sickness of our soul. And if you've ever been cured of something, you walk away and you go, boy, health is good. And faith comes. Some multitude fed from nothing. Have you ever gotten to a pinch and all of a sudden it just turned out perfectly? It's like God had fed the 5,000. And you had no resources before he did it. Some life from the dead like Lazarus. And Jesus says, if you can't believe my words, believe my deeds. And I tell you, if we just ponder our lives, we'll see that all down through that life, we have an experience just like the disciples. Oh, God has acted over and over and over again. This expression would bless me. The other night we had at our house, we had a little what do they call them? We lit the Advent, we put on Advent there. Each of the kids lit a candle. We read scripture. And Ransom read a scripture. And the phrase was in one of the scriptures he read, tender mercies. Have you had a tender mercy? I'm looking at all of you guys. And when God, you look back on those things, faith rises, and you think when Jesus says, if you can't believe my words, can you believe the things I've done? Some divine providence. I love that. I like to live in Providence, Rhode Island. That was a great name. I love that name. Probably a shot place. There's Yankees up there. I love the word providence, some action that God takes in your life that you didn't even know to even ask him for. Just something happened in God's providence. God entered into your life and you turn around, you look back at it 5 or 6, 7, 8 years later and you go, what a wonder. What a tender mercy. And faith rises. If you can't believe my words, Jesus said, then believe me for the deeds that he's done. And so when doubt comes, you just look back on your life and see all the stuff he's done. And your faith will rise. Jesus says, from now on you've known him and seen him. In verse 7, they have had this accumulative experience. And by the way, his answer to Philip was, you've already done, you've seen it. You've had this that you've asking. And just like he told Thomas, you know the way. You've seen him. You've seen, you know me and you know and you have seen God. This is something you've already had. You know, I'm telling you, we despise the gaze of the soul. We want to see it physically. But the gaze of the, you could see so much farther in your spirit than you can with your eyes. It's the gaze of the soul that changes a person forever. We Christians know God through Jesus by the power of the Spirit, and it is a gaze into the world that no other man can see. First John chapter 2, verse 27 says this wonderful statement, as for you, the anointing which you have received from the Father abides in you, and listen to this, you have no need of a teacher. He said, well, Jeff, you're standing up there teaching right now. But you don't need me. One thing we've learned And I'll close with this from that Saint Amy Carmichael, is that God doesn't need much to speak to a soul. Just a word will hold a person for decades. Philip, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? I tell you, I look out at you guys, and I know you know God. You know Him more than you realize. All right, let's pray. Father, we would lie very low before you. And Father, if we don't know what else to ask from you, we ask what Philip asked for. Lord Jesus, show us the Father. Pray this in Jesus' name, Lord.